بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم were the most perfect example for all mankind right until the end of time. They were handpicked for the companionship of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the best for the best. Nabi sallallahu was the best. Hence, his companions were the best. You won't find anybody that has excelled as the Sahaba Ikram had excelled. In order to be able to benefit from anybody, one needs to have that level of confidence. When you have the level of confidence, then you want to invest. But you don't have that level of confidence, then you don't want to invest. That happens in anything and everything. You open a business and you want to spend when you have that level of confidence. Okay, this is a real fortune, so you want to pay a fortune for that. But if you are a little bit shaky, you're not clear, then you don't want to waste your money in that. You'll pay, you'll try it out, alright, and you will say, don't put your eggs in one basket. Try here, try here, try here. Because you're not very confident. And if you're overconfident, then you will spend. So we will draw from the Sahaba Ikram in proportion of our confidence in them. That is why you will have situations people are striving and they're going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So as long as they got one Sahabi or some Sahaba Ikram around that time, and they're doing very well. And they're going out again and they got some Sahaba Ikram around with them and they're doing very well. But when all those Sahaba Ikram are out of the equation, now it's a problem. So the same chain carries on. After the Sahaba Ikram, then the Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in. You got a senior person, then it's a protection for you, it's a fortress for you. But when that senior person is gone, then you are exposed to problems. Our elders say, even senior in a dunya respect, what your father, what your mother, you got an elder in the family. So that elder in the family, even in a dunya respect, he is a fort, he is a protection. We'll find a lot of things falling in place with the presence of the elder. But when that elder goes out of the equation, then you don't find that type of smoothness, you don't find that type of respect, you don't find that type of confidence in the hearts and the minds of people. There were two Sahaba Ikram. They had an arrangement between themselves. And whenever they would get together, then one would recite Surah Al-Asr to the other. So they will not depart until the Surah Asr was recited. There must have been something very magnificent and very special in the Surah for one to recite it to the other. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, he would count the surah as so dynamic and so comprehensive that he would say that if there was nothing else revealed of the Quran but the surah, it would have sufficed the entire humanity. So there must have been something really dynamic about the surah. Allah Ta'ala commences the surah Wal Asr. By the token of time, man is in a loss. In the word of Allah Ta'ala, there is no frills. There's no fancies, frills and extras. It's work and it's focus and direction. So every word that Allah Ta'ala speaks about, you need to contemplate and you need to think about every word that Allah Pak has used. When we are talking, then there is some fancy, there is some thrills and frills. We have to excite the person, or if the audience are feeling a little bit sleepy, you have to make up a joke or something and get them up again, right? But in the word of Allah Ta'ala, there isn't any such thing. It's just work, it's focus and direction. Kalamul Muluki, Mulukul Kalam. The words of the kings are the kings of words. So every word, every dot, every alphabet is important. So Allah Ta'ala swears by the token of time. Man is in a loss. So the oath and the subject that Allah Ta'ala takes in, the oath and the subject that Allah Ta'ala speaks about. Time against loss, right? Time and what he speaks about of man being in loss. So that means that the most precious thing in your life is your time. There isn't a thing as precious as time. For Allah Ta'ala to take an oath and to relate it to your loss. In other words, it would turn around like this, that the man that appreciated his time, then he won. He is not a loser. He is a winner. And the one that did not appreciate the time, then he is a loser. So the choice is yours. That now you have understood what is time. Well, asr. Therefore, the hadith says, "Kullu yaghdu fabai'un nafsahu famu'tiquhu aw mubiquhu." Everybody gets up in the morning, then they put up themselves for sale. See, this life is not without an end. It's not without a goal, not without a purpose. People that talk about evolution, etc., then the beginning of the mistake, where did they start off? Where the mistake started off was, they started off like this, is they didn't want to believe in a creator, number one, or they didn't want to believe in a life after death. Because they speak about one thing evolving from one to the other, and progressing and going on and on and on. So they don't want to register death. They don't want to, if they register death, then they don't want to register a life beyond death. So when they did not want to register something beyond death, so they had to bring about a story, and the story they could bring about was evolving. One thing is evolving from the other. It's a cover-up. It is in order to appease their conscience, right? So they have to create a story to appease and to comfort their conscience. Allah Pak speaks about man, basira. Man looks at himself. Walau alqa ma'adira. He puts up a lot of excuse, but he knows himself. He knows the rogue in him. He knows the thief within him. He'll put up a lot of excuses, but he'll come back to this point here, that I don't want to hear anything beyond death. So I have to give up a cover-up story evolving. One species is evolving from one to the other, and so forth and so on. So mentally he's appeased himself. Don't worry, death after death you'll evolve to something else. It'll continue. So he has to give some type of a mental relaxation, a mental satisfaction to himself in order to escape the life after death. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi explains this concept so well. He was a philosopher and a great philosopher of his time. And up till now, they recognize him for his philosophy. Whether it's Muslims or non-Muslims, they recognize him. So now, the beautiful statement that he made, he says, it can be one of two situations after death. Whether it's either that there's going to be a life after death, or there's going to be no life after death. If you did not believe in the life after death, and it turned out that there was a life after death, that you reel in for a rude shock. Fought. You really in for a big problem, massive problem. But if you believed in a life after death, and there was no life after death, then you're not in a problem. Both ways you're covered. You're covered whether there was a life, or there was no life after death, you covered both ways. And here, if you invested on, and you believed in, no life after death, and it turned out that there was a life after death, then you're in serious problem, massive, eternal problem, irreversible problem. Hence the hadith says that the man gets up in the morning, he's putting himself for trade. Hal adullukum ala tijara. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the life, and the winner in the life is the one that plans a life as a trader, as a businessman. You don't count it as a futile exercise. You don't count it as something vain. You count it as a business. So you need to look at life as you would look at business. So you're serious about it. You're not doing it casually. You're not doing it as a pastime. You're not doing religion as a socializing event. No. You're doing it as a business. So that's why he says, Hal adullukum ala tijara. Must I show you a business? So Allah Pak wants you to treat life as a business. Man is in business, he doesn't want to hear anything. He doesn't want to take a call from his wife, his child, his dear, near one. But I'm in business now. Don't you know I'm in business, my business? I'm in office. You call me after office hours. You get really irritable. You in your profession, you in your business, and you don't want to take a call at that time because you know that it will disrupt your focus. Your whole focus will be disrupted. You're doing some important business dealings you're doing. And you don't want your attention to be disrupted. So Allah Ta'ala says, Hal adullukum ala tijara. Must I show you a business? So you put up yourself for sale. Now, once you put up yourself for sale, as long as you consider this as a business, then فَمُؤْتِقُنْ نَفْسَهُ أَوْ مُوبِقُهُ. Then you have one of two situations. One is a person who gained. He freed himself from all disaster and problems. All disaster, all types of problems, then he's freed himself. He's taken himself on the path of Jannat, so he's freed himself from all types of disaster and problems. And if he doesn't consider a thing like life after death, then أَوْ مُوبِقُهُ, then he's exposed himself to all type of disaster and problems. So when they liken life to a block of ice. That ice, you know, forget a freezer now. Apart from there being a freezer, there's no way to preserve that ice. It's melting all the time. You can't say, stop it now, man. Just melt, but at a cooler rate, at a shorter rate. That thing has got one tartib. It's got one system. It will go on and on melting. So that's exactly life. It just melts away. And you can't change that thing. That's the nature of that ice. It melts away. Your time, it just melts away. You can't reverse it. What's melted away, you can't turn it back. No, you try whatever you want, but you can't get it back. So the value of time, see. There must be a reason why Allah Ta'ala took an oath, and He took an oath by the token of time. To show you the connection of your value to time. How do you relate to time? One person was passing on Kabristan, see. So, as you have it, when you go past the Kabristan, then you make some dua for the inmate of the grave, and you recite some Quran Sharif, and you go on. Right? This is a sunnah that was practiced by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, emphasized and practiced. And it's so important it reminds you, you're going to be here just now. This morning I was thinking that we mislead our children. You see, the way we carry on with our lives, we conduct ourselves in such a way before our children and our families as though there's no end to life. It's just a continuous, continuing. So we don't discuss death, we don't discuss it as a full stop, we don't discuss it as a point where, of culmination of our efforts, we don't count it as a point where we will see the true fruit of our efforts, we don't count it. If we count it just casually in passing, we will count it like that. But do we discuss it as a topic in the presence of our wife and children? Like we discuss business so serious, you know, you have to make these goals. You know, you're not living in fresh air. You have to do something for your life. Work for your exams. You better get to the business on time. See that you open on time. See that you close on time. Don't we take that business very seriously? We didn't make the targets. Don't we feel affected? So the type of concern that we show to business, do we show it to life? And notwithstanding the fact that this is the point where you're going to see the results of your effort. If we think about it, do we discuss it with our children? With the level of importance that we discuss exams, school, homework, assignments, you know, and you keep on reminding your child, you know how much I spent for your education. 1 year I spent 250,000 rands I paid just for your education I paid. So we'll count that as a favor over the child. And we want some returns and some rewards from the child. This is what I need from you. I spent so much on you, and what results am I seeing? But do we count that life after death? Do we count that, and do we see that with that same level of significance, that same level of importance? Oh, we say, oh, it's one of those things now. Don't even talk about it. We talk about it, it brings about some type of misery in the environment. The environment doesn't seem to be so smooth and so comfortable. Yesterday they were doing that hadith when Sahabi had passed away and someone was praising him. So Nabi Sallam inquired, did you ever hear him speaking about death and life after death, etc., related matters? No. Well, then he hasn't reached those maqam and that position of the real pious people. He hasn't reached that position. He may have earned his jannat, but that position, that higher position, that higher class, he hasn't reached. Because he wasn't focused on his goal. So the hadith is telling us that that's your goal. And when that's your goal, you need to think about it, reflect. And when you reflect about it, then reflect about it at least at the level that you reflect over your business. You know, this is my business, it's what we did for the year, and this is how, the dip that we have taken, and this is the uplang that I have got, and how I have to work out, you know, how I must cover up the story, what must I do with this extra, how must I put it away. So all that working is done. Everything is done. Calculated. The coming day, you started business today, tomorrow, what are you going to be doing? What are you going to be receiving? And what's the dispatch going to be like? Is there any problem on that end? And where are you sourcing your stuff from? Is the price right? Is it rightly priced or not? So all that figure you are making, every different department in the business, you are concerned about that it's running well and efficiently or not. Is anybody robbing you or cheating you? So with the level of concern, so do we plan the life after that with that level of concern? Who's cheating me in this life? Who's adding some value to my business, to my life? Who's adding some value? And who's cheating me in this? And what I must be careful about? And what I must be really investing about? Do we talk about these things? Do we allow our minds to go in that line? Tunjikum min azabin alim. So this person is passing by the grave, you know. And as he's passing by the grave, so he recites like how it is customary, we recite, we pass on. And then perhaps he wanted to know, is my dua and whatever I've recited, is that accepted by Allah Ta'ala or not? So he must have made some dua, Allah Ta'ala, what I've done, I want to see what's the returns like. What's the returns like? Allah Pak has understanding with his servants. Each servant, he has a different understanding. And he treats him accordingly. Right? According to your arrangement and your understanding, Allah Ta'ala treats you differently. So everybody is not treated in one and the same way. So if something happened for some person, it didn't happen for you, then you're not supposed to be asking, it happened for him, why didn't it happen for me? Allah Ta'ala knows why it happened for that person, and it didn't happen and it didn't work out for you. He is in a different predicament, you in a different predicament. A buck comes to a water trough or a well, and the levels of the water just comes up. It comes up, and the deer drinks from it, and it goes. One pious Haji Sahib is going, and when he comes to the well, so he sees the surface of the water going down. He sees that the surface was like this. Now, as I came, and the waters went right down, it just dipped. So he cried to Allah Ta'ala, okay, my value is not even to the value of this deer. For this deer, O Allah Ta'ala, you could raise the surface of the water. And when I came in, that thing just dipped. So Allah Ta'ala says, you aren't like this deer. That thing doesn't have a bucket, it doesn't have a string. Now, it is thirsty and it needs to drink. So I brought up the surface so that thing could drink. But you've got a water, you got a bucket, you got a string, you can lower your bucket and take out water. But nonetheless, since you complained, now we'll raise the surface of the water. He finished his Hajj and he met Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi told him that had you been just patient, Allah Ta'ala would have allowed a stream to gush beneath your feet. So Allah Ta'ala's relationship with each servant is different. So if someone was favored in some way, then we're not supposed to be asking, why was that person favored in this way, and I am not favored in that way. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, when he left the kingdom of Afghanistan, and he took to the path of Allah Ta'ala, said, no, I won't be able to manage. When he analyzed the whole thing, he said, no, the kingdom and then I'm going to become the friend of Allah Ta'ala, I'll not be able to reconcile. Right? He had a frame of mind, and he felt within his capacity he won't be able to do the both. And in the meanwhile, in Bukhari Sharif, the provision is made for both. Who is a good person? One person that the hadith counts, jahada bi nafsihi wa malihi, who strives with his wealth and with his person. And who is the other good person? The other good person, yakunu fi shi'bin min ash-shi'ab, ya'budu rabbahu wa yad'u an-nasa an sharrihi. Both are more or less identical, because it's wawa atifa. And his wawa atifa is to show that these are two good people. The hadith is not underrating one person and overrating the other. So both are good. He is in a valley, he's taken to isolation. He understands that he's going to mix up, that he's going to lose out. He's going to have a fight, he's going to have an argument, he's going to do something to say, he'll say someone something, and he'll hurt someone, or someone will hurt him. So he's taken away, and he's focused on what he's doing. So Allah Pak likes his both people. Who's better, Allah Pak knows now. This hadith doesn't say who's better. It would seem outwardly that the person that is striving, his reward is greater, because he's doing good and he's calling people towards good as well. But the hadith itself rates the both equally. Right? So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi felt for a period of time that I won't be able to reconcile the both. So you must remember, when you've got that level of sincerity, no matter what you are doing, Allah Ta'ala would take the work out of you. Now the man Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi is passed on over 1250 years. But up to this day, we benefit from his teachings. Don't you see that? He did whatever he did. He took to isolation. But don't we benefit from his teachings up to this day? So the thing that counts with Allah Ta'ala, ke kon apne Rab ko zyada khush kar sakta hai? In some of his words, who can please Allah Ta'ala more? One is our calculation. He is more and I am more. And one is the thing that the gauge with Allah Ta'ala, who can please Allah Ta'ala more? That's the gauge. And that's what we need to invest, put our minds into. Okay, who can please Allah Ta'ala more? And that pleasure of Allah Ta'ala comes with the beauty of your action. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The pleasure of Allah Ta'ala comes in how much you can beautify your action, with your niyat, with the conformity of the sunnah, doing it properly with a feeling of desperation that I need to do it. I'm helpless. I need to focus towards Allah Ta'ala. I need to dedicate myself. I need to devote myself. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, it's towards Maghrib time, and he used to spend the night somewhere. So for a musafir, it is permissible that he retires in the masjid. For normal reasons, without the niyat of i'tikaf, you shouldn't be sleeping in a masjid. A normal person, he is living here in Spingo and he's sleeping in a masjid, without the niyat of i'tikaf is not right. But a musafir can sleep, or a person from the place, he's sleeping in the masjid with the niyat of i'tikaf, then it's permissible. As he comes to the masjid, and he sees one imam sahab or a muazzin or whatever, the muazzin or the imam or whoever was the pious person, is also taken to piety. So this pious person, when he sees Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, so he says to Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, you can read your namaz here, but you can't sleep the night here. Because he's calculating in his mind, I get some help from the unseen. Two rotis and two botis. I get a little bit of curry, whatever, and I get two loaves of bread I get, and this is sufficient for me. Now, if the next person is going to live in the masjid, I will share everything with him. So, he had to have some type of a security plan. So, he says, you can perform your namaz here, but after namaz, you go on, move on. Ibrahim Adham rahmatullahi sense from his speech, okay, that was his concern. So, no, don't worry, bhai, I'll stay here, but I won't ask you for your food. I won't share your food. You eat yourself, you enjoy. So, all right, then you can stay. Anyway, it was just half an hour or so, and this pious person, his food came in. Simple food, whatever food he was used to, that food came in. And he ate his food, turning towards the opposite direction. Okay, he may not feel sorry and sympathetic towards Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. Ibrahim bin Adham didn't mind. Anyway, man must have been hungry for the day, and he saw the food, so he really wanted to satisfy himself. Then, not even an hour passed, and he saw trays and trays of food coming into the masjid. And the fragrance, the aroma, the whole masjid got filled up. Type of juices, curries and meat and steak and whatever. Everything is filled up. Everything is... That also is coming from the unseen. He's also got assistance from the unseen. And he's also getting assistance from the unseen. Divine help. And everything is coming to Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. Now, this mullah they called pious person. Not mullah, Yusuf mullah now. This they called, in the old days, they called mullah a pious person. And this mullah is complaining to Allah Ta'ala. Am I so insignificant in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that he is getting so much and I am getting a simple dish? He is getting so much and I am getting such a simple, ordinary dish. So do I have no significance, no acceptance in your court? See, this is a problem, you see. Problem is, when we see someone distinguished in some favor, then we are concerned, why is he distinguished? Why am I not distinguished? But don't put your mind into that. Allah Ta'ala has got a different relationship with his servants. This servant has got a different relationship. That servant has got a different relationship. Why is being favored in that way? Allah Pak knows that. And why this person is not being favored? Allah Pak knows. One person came to Imam Qasim Naruti rahmatullahi and he had a couple of millions. He passed it on. Mona, I want you to take this and use it as you want. Distribute it wherever. Ma says, no, you distribute it yourself. I won't take the trouble of distributing it. So he said, but why? So no, see, had I been worthy of distributing, Allah Ta'ala would have given it to me for me to distribute. But Allah Ta'ala feels that I'm not the right person to do the distribution. Therefore, he gave it to you. So you do the distribution yourself. Had he felt that I was the candidate to make the distribution, he would have given it to me. But since he hasn't given it to me, that means perhaps he feels that you are the right candidate. You know how to do the distribution better, so he's given it to you. You see our ulama kiram, how they reason, how they seem. And now, jitna aaye, aane do. What comes, let it just come. Let it just come. We will just be able to digest anything and everything. So anyway, when this pious person, when he complained to Allah Ta'ala that, am I so insignificant? Have I got no worth in your sight? Okay, you favored him so much, and you didn't favor me. So Allah Ta'ala spoke to this pious person and told him, see the background that he came from, and see the background that you came from. He was the king of the whole Afghanistan, Balkh. And more than Balkh, he was a king. Not just a prime minister. You had thousands of people attending to him. Cooks upon cooks and everything, had hundreds and thousands of people attending to his personal khidmat. So much he had, and he left all that to come and serve me, to dedicate and devote himself to me. Now what you were? You were an ordinary peasant. You were doing an informal job, toho job. And you were earning about 100 rands. And had you not worked, you would have got the same food, right? Had you not dedicated yourself to me, you would have got the same food. If you want, we could reverse the whole thing, put you back to the farm, you would have got the same type of food that you're enjoying now. So being a pious person, he came to his senses and he says, Allah Ta'ala, ye toh meri bewakufi hai. My stupidity, my naivety, I didn't realize that this is how you're treating him, and this is why you're treating him like this, and this is why you're treating me like this. So he treats his servants, and he knows why he treats his servants, and how he treats his servants, he knows it. So we're not supposed to be complaining, Allah, why do you treat me like this? And I was in riches, now in rags. I was like this, and I've been downsized. Why has this happened to me? We don't need to have this type of complaint. There was one chacha here, in our masjid flats, you know. I spoke to about him some time back. So, OV Chacha. So, in the early 50s and 60s, he was a very wealthy person. Very, very wealthy. Factories and all. That time, money was tight and he had mills and all that at that time. A man like Chotamota was working for him at that time. And he sent him to Germany just to learn some designing and coloring and all that. So, he was really, a really wealthy person at that time. So, anyway, he was a little bit friendly with me. His business is all dipped, and he wasn't doing so well. And then he came to live in the masjid flats. So I asked him, Chacha, you know, once upon a time you were such a wealthy person, you need to make an appointment, three-piece suit, and what you were. And now you took a dip like this. So do you feel uncomfortable from where you were and what you have been now, Do you feel uncomfortable? He says, at the beginning I felt a little uncomfortable. But I took a lot of comfort and a lot of solace in the fact that Allah Ta'ala has taken me out from wherever I was and made me the neighbor of the masjid. I take a lot of comfort, a lot of enjoyment and happiness. I feel I can't pay a price for that. But you see the man's thinking. So I say these old people are here, they are protection for us. We need to learn to respect them, need to learn to appreciate them. Some things that come out from their tongues, we can't understand why they speak like that. How they speak like that. So this person is passing by that graveyard, and I took all your time explaining all these stories. And as he's passing by the graveyard, he read whatever he needed to read, and he carried on and he asked Allah Ta'ala, you know, whatever I've read, so Allah Ta'ala, I want to see what's the reward for that, what's the return for that. So anyway, he sees that all the inmates of the grave have come out from the graves, and each one is taking his share. You know, like a wedding or something. They're giving jalebis. Our zamana used to be giving jalebi and naan khatai. Now they give Kit Kat and lunch bar, right? So everybody has come out to take his share. And he sees that in the one corner there is one chacha that is sitting there,
and very much relaxed. No anxiety. No anxiety at all. Yeah, but there's a Kit Kat. Even if you've got a sweet shop, you look forward to that Kit Kat. Talking of experience, I see people got a sweet shop there, you got a sweet wholesaler, right? But you feel that there's some extra barakat in that, you want to take that. So now, this chacha is seeing that, yeah, that chacha is not interested at all. And everybody is going for his share. So he went up to this chacha, he asked him, but see, everybody is excited about taking their shares. And you sitting there pretty well, you got no interest at all. So the chacha scratches his head and he says, why must I be interested in this? You're talking about just one Kit Kat. I'm getting, 30 horse and trolleys full of Kit Kats I'm getting. Every day I'm getting. How do you get that? I'm telling you my own words. I'm getting it this way that I got a child and the child is making a khatam every day for me. So I got like 30 horse and trailers coming for me every day, posted to my account every day. So what must I do with this more one Kit Kat here? I'm getting 30 trailers, horse and trailers I'm getting. What I need to do with this? Alright? And where is your son? So now he's in so and so street. What is the name? So he went straight to the shop. Got the name and all that. So he's got a mitai shop, sweet meat shop or something. But his lips are moving all the time. I said, what are you doing? So no, I'm reciting Quran Sharif. Then what do you do after that? So I pass on the rewards to my father. And how much you recite? One Quran. So he confirmed everything. Now, after some days, a year or 2 years or something, he passed on the same end, he comes to the Qabristan, made the dua, whatever dua maghfirat he made, and he carried on. Again, he asked Allah that I want to see it. So Allah showed him. Now he sees that that chacha that was very independent at that time, that chacha also came for his share of the sin. Now he asked the chacha, what happened? Before you were so independent, you were not concerned, and now you also concerned about your share. What happened? So he says, you know what? My child has passed away. That child that used to send that one khatam every day, he's passed away. So this surah is continuing. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Mankind is in a loss, right? Now, to make this loss profitable, to make this loss into a profit, Allah Pak is showing you the way. This is what you're going to do to turn this business around. You want this whole investment to turn around. So this is the thing that you need to do. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. In order to get the license to trade, you'll have to have, the first condition is iman. Without iman, you can't trade. No, they won't allow you to trade anywhere. So, in this investment, in other words, you want to save yourself from incurring any loss, then the first condition is then come with iman. That's the first condition, so you can't trade. We'll close you straight away. You want to come through, we'll close you, we'll lock you up. You can't move. Beyond this point, you can't move without iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The second point is وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Righteous works. Righteous works, the whole variety and various departments of righteousness. Get your character right. Get your deeds right. Get your social etiquettes right. Get your dealings right. So, righteous works. One word, the Quran Sharif has used one word, but that one word covers all different varieties of righteous works. It is not just namaz, but every type of righteous work, whether it is namaz, whether it is your interaction with people, socializing, your dealings, your social etiquettes, everything is inclusive. Get everything right. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So if you got these two, as though you got half your investment right. But you want your investment to be perfect, you know. It mustn't be deficient at all. It mustn't be deficient. It must grow from strength to strength. You're getting an increase every year. 20%, 30%. Well, that's what you call a real investment. But no, you're standing there. There's no improvement at all. and possibility of deteriorating. So you want that thing to move all the time. You want it to move. You want it to be a perfect thing, a comprehensive plan, a plan that is comprehensive, complete, perfect. So the first is iman. Without iman, you can't move. And then righteous works. But you don't stop at that point. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. So the other two points Allah Pak speaks about, you're joining together in righteousness, and you're joining together in works of, you're joining together, encouraging each other in constancy and patience. So وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ, in other words, righteousness. Righteousness, I showed you, what is righteousness? All variety and a whole variety of good works, whether it is your dealings, whether it is your personal deeds, whether it's your character, whether it's your social etiquettes, but in all that you are doing it, and you're doing it righteous. You're doing it right, you're doing it correctly. It can be a small thing, but you're doing it and you're doing it correctly. In your character, you're doing it rightly. In your deeds, you're doing it rightly. You're not rushing through any of your deed. You're not spoiling any of your dealings. Your dealings, you are right. In your character also, you are right. When you say character being right, it's a small example, right? Character being right, how do you gauge that your character is being right? Alright, you have an encounter with someone. So what you need to see is that you had an encounter and you're feeling bitter, right? But at the time of that encounter, or when your mind is settled, you need to think in the defense of the person that you had an encounter, not in your defense. Our norm is that when we have a problem, we come to our own defense. You know, that person told me these words here. He shouted at me, he swore me, he had no rights. How can he do this? How can he behave like this? What he thinks of himself? So that is, you're talking about your own defense. Right? Now you don't come to your defense, you come to the defense of your partner. Come to his defense. For example, you were screaming and shouting, right? So this person told you, but you mustn't scream. It's a masjid. People want it to be calm and composed, right? So although you're shouting outside, but it's not an environment to be shouting and ranting and raving. You disturb the peace of the environment of the masjid. So at that time, perhaps you got angry. And you train by, who are you to come and advise me? You're a small looper. You know, you're still wet behind your ears. You don't know about life and you're coming to advise me. Alright, at that moment you'll feel upset. But after that, when you're analyzing, you say, no, I must come to the defense of my partner, not to my defense. Yes, what he was telling was right. What he was saying was right. That was a masjid environment. Even the outside, I need to be calm and composed. I'm not supposed to be ranting and raving. And I was behaving, I was misbehaving, I was carrying on like an animal. So what he told me was right. Now you see, when you came to the defense of your partner, now there's moderation in your thought. Your thinking is going right. But if you come into your own defense, then you're never wrong. You're always right. Then you can never expect your akhlaq and your character to improve.